Veterans Update, Services Step Up, Hearing Surveillance, by Tom Philpott. The Air Force plans to follow the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps in significantly expanding the use of hearing tests to identify and, over time, lower the incidence of permanent hearing loss tied to military service. In 2006, the Army became the first service to expand monitoring of hearing loss, gathering a baseline record of auditory function for recruits and giving more annual tests to detect declines. Early detection of threshold shifts in hearing allows more timely and effective treatment to prevent permanent loss and reduce the risk of more severe auditory injury, says Air Force Colonel Mark Packer, director of DOD's Hearing Center of Excellence, HCE. The Marine Corps expanded its hearing surveillance in 2012. The Navy, too, now requires baseline audiograms for new active and reserve members and will soon have 70% to 80% of sailors enrolled in its hearing conservation program. These steps are in response to a rising incidence of hearing loss and tinnitus, ringing in the ear, made worse by recent wars. As of October 1, 2012, the number of veterans compensated by VA for service-connected tinnitus reached 972,000, a jump of 227,000 in just 2 years. The number of veterans drawing separate compensation for hearing loss reached 774,000, a 2-year increase of 102,000. During the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, Congress had DOD establish centers of excellence for detection and treatment of PTSD, TBI, and hearing impairments. The first two conditions are widely viewed as signature injuries of the wars. Those case numbers are expected to decline significantly with the Iraq war over and U.S. forces ending a direct combat role in Afghanistan. But tinnitus and hearing loss remain the most common disabling conditions of service, Packer says. Even if only training for war, personnel will still fire guns of all sizes, fly and maintain screaming jet engines, and operate loud earth movers. Hearing test data from the Army's longer-running monitoring program indicate that it might have been a mistake to focus annual hearing tests solely on personnel working in the noisiest occupations. When the Army greatly increased surveillance, the threshold shift rate initially increased, suggesting that the originally unscreened population had just as many, if not more, hearing problems than the Army population previously deemed occupationally exposed, says Jeremy Nelson, science advisor at HCE. Military job efficiency and functional capacity can degrade rapidly with hearing loss, Packer says. But hearing impairments are more prevalent in society, too, with greater use of earbuds and loud hobbies like video games. For the military, hearing loss and tinnitus are an order of magnitude above other disabilities and are an invisible injury, just like traumatic brain injury, but more prevalent, he adds. Even with hearing conservation programs in place, the services have seen hearing impairments rise, leading HCE to press for them to have more comprehensive programs. HCE is developing a standardized minimal surveillance strategy to act as an early warning system so we can identify when hearing is affected and then have a rapid response to that change to further prevent, mitigate, and rehabilitate the hearing declines, Packer says. Beyond surveillance, HCE is emphasizing behavioral changes through improved education on multiple levels and more awareness from leadership on protecting hearing. Another goal is to streamline acquisition of hearing protection devices across the services by defining minimum standards and screening products to ensure that all members have the protection they need.